1 Thessalonians 2. I want to pick up where I left off this morning. These Thessalonians received the word in a very unique and special way. They received it by faith. They received it with humility. And Paul was very touched by that. He was very encouraged because you could tell, you know, there's a reason he sent Timothy to check up on them. He didn't really know. He's like any of us. You know, Paul, he was a great man of God, a great missionary. But don't forget, Paul had like passions. Paul struggled with doubt at times, with inferiority. He struggled with insecurity. Paul struggled with that. We see that in his letters. But you know, when Timothy, can you imagine when Timothy brought back this message? Oh, how sweet that message would have been to encourage his heart, to say, Paul, those Thessalonians, I'm not here to tell you that they're perfect, but I'm telling you, they are walking with God. And they received your word, and it has changed their lives. I believe, I'm a firm believer, that God's will is for our lives to be changed, to be transformed. There's not a person in this room that God wants you to remain the same in your spiritual journey. He wants you to be maturing in Christ. And I commend you on being here on a Sunday night, because I believe that does imply or is indicative of your desire, certainly, to grow and mature in Christ. But let's pick up where we left off there in chapter 2 and verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God, Paul said, without ceasing. Because why am I thanking God? Is because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now let's pick up on 14 and 15 tonight and 16. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. Now, we'll address that phrase tonight. To fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Let's pray. Father, I rejoice tonight in your word. We receive it gladly, Lord. We want to be changed and transformed. Help us, Lord, tonight to sense the work of your Spirit. And Lord, I am praying that there would be just a sweet liberty tonight. Your presence and God, your comfort and your guidance and your clarity. Help us to understand this truth about how we receive the word, or sadly, how we might reject it. Oh God, have mercy upon us. Help us to understand this, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. God has spoken. God has spoken and given his message to the people of Thessalonica, and many have been saved. And we are seeing the evidence here in the scriptures. Now, we looked at how important it is to prepare our hearts. I wonder if any of you remembered to pray before the service tonight. I hope you did. I hope you'll get a habit. I'm not mad at you if you forgot. It's a habit. It really is. It's a habit that we, on our way to church, let's pray together. Maybe when you pull into the parking lot, join hands, join your hearts, and say, oh God, help us as we enter in, as we get ready to hear the Word of God. And that's what I believe will make a difference. So as we move through this and understanding the importance of receiving the Word of God in a humble way, we're also going to see that really caused the Thessalonians some problems. And it'll likely cause you some problems along the way. What does that mean? Well, we notice here in the scriptures, it says You became followers of the churches of God when you're in Judea. I mentioned this morning that Paul's basically saying here, you did what the first church did. You really started preaching the gospel. Remember the book of Acts? Start reading after Pentecost. When Pentecost took place, what'd they start doing? Give me some feedback. What did the disciples start doing openly and boldly? Preaching? What else? Preaching the gospel? What else? Yep, they were healing people, helping people in that way. What else were they doing? Having prayer meetings? Yep, amen. What else were they doing? Something we did at the first part of our service here. Worshiping, praising the Lord. I mean, they were going forth. They were not hiding it. They were being beat for the cause of Christ. In fact, we know in Acts chapter 4 that they counted it an honor. They counted a blessing, it says. They rejoiced, I believe the Bible word is, that they were counted worthy to suffer the reproaches of Jesus Christ. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So we see that what Paul is doing is he's encouraging them, saying, brethren, you're not alone. And I want to encourage you tonight, brother and sister, you're not alone. The things you're facing right now, it's not strange. Likely someone very near to you, across the pew, behind you, in front of you, is dealing with some the very similar things right now. There are going to be times in our life, because we make a decision to receive the Word of God by faith and by obedience and humility, we let it transform our lives, it's going to cause some problems with those that do not want to walk with God. You know, when you start walking with God, it'll show you who your true friends are. Because those that do not want to truly walk with God will begin separating themselves from you. And some will even turn against you and accuse you of being narrow-minded and unfair and holier than thou. It can become cruel, even those people that might be closest to you. Not only that, but not only the people closest to you, but then there will be influences that Satan uses to discourage you. That's what happened here. The Jews that had been blinded because of their rejection of the Messiah, Satan used them as tools to discourage the church. But remember, there's hope, because remember, Satan was using Saul. You remember how Satan was using Saul of Tarsus? He was persecuting Christians. What happened? Saul got saved. And my point is that it is common ground for believers to begin when they receive the word this way, there's going to be opposition. So it says here, if you look in your Bible, that they followed the church that was in Christ Jesus. That's the true church, those that are in Christ. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen. Okay, the persecution, even as they have of the Jews. Then it says, it goes into verse 15 and 16, and he gives a description, and he's speaking specifically, not exclusively, but specifically about the Jews. Now, I want to clarify something here in tonight's message, that some have accused Paul of being anti-Semitic here and anti-Semitism and just truly attacking the Jews in a unrighteous fashion. And that is absolutely not true, because it would be totally contrary to the Apostle Paul's heart. If you read, go back, and in fact, why don't you hold your place there in Thessalonians. Go back to Romans chapter 9. The New Testament, Romans chapter 9, notice with me, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Get this, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for who? My brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are what, church? Israelites. Paul had a heart for the Jewish people, but what he's talking about in this passage is he's stating a fact that because of the Jews rejecting Jesus, their Messiah, there was a blindness that came upon them, and they became the primary persecutors of the church. He's just stating a fact. And we know that it was also the Romans that killed Jesus. But the Jews were the ones that were crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! And let his blood be upon our hands and our children for generations to come." That was the Jews. That was the Jewish people. But we know it was the Romans as well. It was the Roman soldiers. It was the Roman soldier that pierced him. And not only was it the Jews, brethren, and not only was it the Roman soldiers, but never forget who crucified Jesus. It was you and me. How do I know that? Because Isaiah chapter 53 says, "The Lord hath laid on him," that's Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. So don't get the idea. Some people have accused Paul of being in a way anti-Jew here. That's absolutely not true. In fact, he's just stating a fact that he saw what the Jews did when they were blinded. They turned against the church. And they persecuted. He was one of them. And notice in Romans chapter 10, he says, if you need more evidence there, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they what?" Look at that. Look at that in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That is the Lord. Now, I will point your attention to something here in just a moment. So hold your place there in Romans chapter 11. But let's go back to our text. Let's go back to Thessalonians. As we look at Thessalonians here, I will come back to Romans 11. So I just want you to hold your place there. Stick a bulletin or something near. All right. Back to chapter 2. So he talks about, he explains here about the Jews who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Okay, they killed the prophets. We see that clearly in a description of even those killings in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 specifically. But we know that they persecuted, and that's what it says here, "They have persecuted us and they please not God and are contrary to all men." They were contrary to what God was desiring to do through the Gentiles. There was a jealousy there. There was a jealousy. Notice how I know and we know that there was a jealousy. What does verse 16 say? "They were forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved." There was such a jealousy there, a resentment, a hatred for the Gentiles, that they were going to the extent of wanting to hinder the gospel message. And if there was something that I could, like a one-liner tonight that I would want us all to go home with, is, folks, it is extremely dangerous ground for us to ever be in a place where we are a stumbling block for somebody to get saved. We have to take that very seriously. Because the Jews, although we may not purposely block someone, but we could be borderline with our lives sending a contradictory message and could result in someone not really having a favorable look towards Christianity because of our conduct, God forbid. We need to be alert and vigilant and right with God at all times. But these people went beyond. They despised it so much that they went out of their way to keep people from hearing the gospel. And the declaration here is what Paul is saying. He's not being cruel. He's not being antagonistic. But he's stating the truth. Notice what he says as a result of them trying to forbid the gospel message going to the Gentiles. It says, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. What do we see here? We see that because of their blindness, this is what they love to do. They love to do what they love. They love their religion more than a true born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. And notice that this is, I believe, prophetic, because it's what's happening right now, what has happened, what's happening right now, what will happen when people refuse to follow Christ. Can you go back to Romans chapter 11? Romans chapter 11. I want to point your attention there to verse 25. Again, I want to go into the details, but Romans 9, 10, 11 are really parenthetical, okay, of the book of Romans. He takes a moment just to address the nation of Israel, and you have to understand that in the context about what their future is and even about their consequences of their rejection of the Messiah. That's in those three chapters. And notice what he says here in verse 25. He says, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That's a promise, by the way. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, which is Jesus Christ, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, get this, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. I'm just going to pause there right there. Here Paul was helping us understand that these Jews were antagonistic because of their blindness. And by the way, a lot of people in this world that are antagonistic against transformative gospel, Christianity, lives being changed, is because there's a blindness upon their lives. I tell you who has a front view of it, Brother Andrew. He has a front row seat to it. And you go to places like D.C. and you see, you're like, what? How can these people think this way? How? What in the world possesses them? I want to tell you, there's a blindness. And here's what the scary part is. And I say this as a warning, as an admonition, but also to clarify some of our thinking, like what is going on. The Bible teaches, and even in our text and going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the Bible says here that they might to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. There's been questions about what is this wrath. Well, in the Greek tense, it is an aorist past tense. And basically what I believe it is speaking of, because some have said, well, is it the wrath that is abiding on them, which is true over every lost person? John 3:36, the wrath of God abideth on them that are not believing. Or is it possibly the destruction of Jerusalem? Is it the 70 AD that would be coming? Some would say that. Is it talking about the tribulation time? That's a possibility, but in the tense of that verb, let me tell you what this wrath is. It's the same judgment that Romans chapter 1 talks about. And you know what that is? People that continually reject the truth of the gospel heap unto themselves more and more judgment. That's a dangerous thing, friend, because those that are hearing the gospel and hearing the truth, but they're rejecting it and continuing to be against God, that's where we have to understand from what Paul is telling the Thessalonians here. Look, These people that are treating you badly and that you're suffering because of this, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, they're filling up their sins always. They're storing it up and they're going to give an account for it one day. They're going to give an account for it one day, for the wrath, it says, is come upon them in the uttermost. I like to think of it like this. Praise for those that are saved and born again, we are saved to the uttermost. But according to this verse, those that are lost will be judged to the uttermost. What a difference. Now, this is where it's very important that you and I understand this. We as Christians must not ever, ever try to take the place of bringing judgment upon lost people. In other words, the wrath that would come will come in God's timing. And God's way, and God's infinite wisdom, He will bring that. So this is the very dangerous thing for Christians. Listen, can I just say it like this? Don't curse yourself by cursing others. I want to say that again. Don't curse yourself by cursing others. Because that's what will happen if you get in this mindset where you're going to put the curse on people. But what I believe the Bible is teaching here is that the wrath belongs to God alone. That's not my place. God is dealing with them. Get this. I wrote these down. You may want to, but for my own thinking, God is dealing with the lost world in this way. He is dealing with them in His impeccable timing. God's timing is impeccable. He is dealing with them in His infinite wisdom. He is dealing with them in His fathomless love. He is dealing with them with His holy justice. God will meet each one of these with His righteous judgment unless they turn. And sinners who continue to sin in spite of God's patience and His mercy are only heaping unto themselves more and more judgment. So I would say here, as He is encouraging these brethren, listen, these people are going to try to hinder you from preaching the gospel in Thessalonica. You're going to get persecuted for it. And there's going to be some strange things that happen to you. And I'm telling you what, we're no different than Thessalonica. We are a church, and any other church in Jackson County or any church in America that is seeking to preach the gospel and go out and reach people is going to be persecuted. Is going to receive the attacks of the enemy. But I want to tell you what I believe Paul's heartbeat in telling the Thessalonians is this. Hey, don't think of this as God's blessings are off of you. Because that quickly can happen. Believers can get discouraged and say, man, I can't believe, why is this happening to me? It's almost to the point, it's like, God, hadn't I been good? Lord, we've been doing what's right. Why? Well, it's exactly what he's telling these brethren right here. You're following in the pattern of the first Christians in Judea, and now you're getting it, and here we are 2,000 years later, and we're going to get it. But be encouraged, brethren. It is a sign that the enemy is upset, and God's word is going forward, God's church is going forward, and lives are going to be changed because of it. People's lives are going to be rescued because of it. We are called as God's people to go forth and to pray, to forgive, and to do good. To do good as much as we possibly can, as Paul would say, without compromising truth. But the fact of the matter is, we have a job to do that God alone has given us. There are times of difficulty, and that's where the church, as a family, we stand together. In times of difficulty, what do? We encourage each other. When Elijah isolated himself from other faithful ones, you know what happened to Elijah? What happened to Elijah when he isolated himself? Got discouraged. he got downhearted and downcast. You know, one reason Paul, I believe, sent Timothy back, as I mentioned earlier, was to encourage the Thessalonians. And I want to remind you tonight that a lonely believer is very vulnerable to the attacks of the wicked one. That's why we believe in coming to church and meeting each other and encouraging each other, because we need that. And I hope that we'll all have that mentality that this is just not a waste of time. This is actually to help us succeed throughout the week, to be encouraged in the faith, to be sharpened by one another, and to go out. Now, again, Paul was not in any way showing any kind of hatred towards these Jews, but he was just stating a fact that they were an enemy. In closing, I want to give your attention, direct your attention to 1 Peter. Would you turn there with me just for a moment? 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. I want us to read verses 7, 8, and 9 together. Let's begin reading in verse 7, church. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 9 especially speaks, I believe, of Paul's message to the Thessalonians. Your brethren are facing the same thing. The enemy is seeking to devour them, but knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What do? We keep on receiving the word, and we keep on sharing the word. Come in here to church, local church. As Brother Adrian Rogers said, the local church is the huddle. And when you go out there in the world, that's the game. As an analogy, we huddle in here, we hear God's plan for the week in our hearts and how He's dealing with us and our areas and seasons of life. We encourage one another, we get what God wants, and we go out there into the field and we serve our King. So let's do it. Let's receive the Word gladly this week. I want to encourage you to be listening to messages throughout the week. Listen to, the reason I can say this, it's because this is what I have. I don't know. You may know of some other good stations on the radio, but I can stand by and highly recommend BBN. They have excellent Bible teaching, and I can't even remember what station it is. I think it's like 89 something or 88 something. But the reason I say that, whether it's BBN or another station or a podcast, let's be getting the Word of God in us throughout the week. Be strengthened by God's Word. And when you are out and about, you're receiving, and seek to see how you can also give it. And God forbid that any of us should be a stumbling block. But I pray that we would not be a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to someone this week. Amen. Let's do it, brethren. Let's be encouraged like the Thessalonians. And yes, those enemies out there, they are heaping up to themselves judgment unless they turn to Christ. And I pray that God would help us to win them before it's too late. Amen. Let's pray.